It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you, you're treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And you were made for this time, so step into that. There's a lot of things that people are stepping into as I think about that, Steve, but step into this with courage. And thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I see you shaking your head, producer Steve. No comment.
I had a coworker once when you were explaining something to you, something to him, he would say, "Yeah, I smell what you're stepping in."
That other chuckle, it is Turnquist Friday. Rick Turnquist, our favorite Oklahoman now, is in studio. It is great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim. It's great to be here. Nice little weekend visit back to the native state, and nice to be able to be in studio with you today.
It's great. You've written a really excellent piece, Truth and Reconciliation. I would so highly recommend people check that out. And the graphic that Zach has come up with, once again, he's knocked it out of the park.
He always does a great job. I don't even think about suggesting one because I know he'll come up with something way better than I could have.
Yeah. So be sure and check that out. Yeah. That's at kimmunson.com. That is my website. The recaps and podcasts of the shows are there. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. So we will have this we've already released it, but it will be in the newsletter this weekend as well, Rick.
Good.
And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute and help us. We are an independent voice. And we are searching for truth and clarity as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And Rick, we have seen it. It's never compassionate. We've seen them take our rights. They're taking our property, our freedom, and our livelihoods. I mean, we're seeing it. And there's a variety of ways. It's via force. And force can be a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation, Rick.
Yeah, that's right. Wall Street Journal recently had an article about how the inflation rate has gotten so bad that lower-income workers who the left professes to care about, their wage gains are being erased by the inflation. And it's tragic for everybody, but especially for people that are in the lower income bracket.
Yeah, they say that they're for the little guy. And then when you look at this huge, and you've really gone through and looked at, as much as you can, this potential big spending bill. And there's all kinds of special things for, quote unquote, the Democrat rich.
Oh, yeah. And they, when I read, I didn't read the bill itself because nobody has time for that. But I read the news articles about it. And it really seems to be just a progressive fantasy list. When you look at all the bullet points in this piece, I tried to capture the high level ones. But, free tuition, free community college, free this, free that, more things targeted to lower income people. And they always say they want to help lower income people. And I say, how about we don't inflate the currency and why don't we cut the tax burden?
As
I discovered when I was writing this, the people in the lower 50% of the income brackets only pay about 13% of all income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
They're already in a position where they don't really bear that much of the cost of government, but yet the government is doing everything they can to make it more difficult for them.
Well, and also, Rick, as I've gone through, you and I've both been on this journey of public policy, everybody needs to have skin in the game. Because if you don't have skin in the game, you don't mind voting to have somebody else pay something. Everybody needs to have some skin in the game.
That's right. And I believe there's a saying, I don't remember who said it, but they said, when people discover that they can use the power of government to tax others, to benefit themselves than our country has done. And I'm grossly paraphrasing, but it was was the gist of it.
I think it was Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
It might have been. Okay. Speaking of Thomas Jefferson, he is our quote for the day. You know Thomas Jefferson. He was an American statesman, diplomat, lawyer, architect, musician, philosopher, and founding father. He was, I think, a couple of years ahead of Stephen School.
A little bit.
It's a good thing it's a Friday. Otherwise, I'd be offended.
Okay. Third president of the United States, and he was born in 1743. He died July 4, 1826. We did a John Adams quote yesterday. Did you know that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day?
I did know that, yeah.
July 4th. 50 years after the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Is that not just kind of amazing? Yeah. Anyway, this is what Thomas Jefferson said. I am for a government rigorously frugal and simple, applying all the possible savings of the public revenue to the discharge of the national debt, and not for a multiplication of officers and salaries merely to make partisans and for increasing by every device the public debt on the principle of its being a public blessing. I thought you'd like that one, Rick Turnquest.
I love that. That's the best quote of the day ever, I think, because it exactly sums up the philosophy behind the founders that established our national government, which has grown way, way, way beyond anything they could have even imagined. And if this $3.5 billion boondoggle passes, then it'll grow even more out of control. And it's really, I think, not just this bill itself, but the mindset behind it is very dangerous for our country.
Rick, I think there is a strategy here. And that is, and I'm going back to when I was shopping for athletic shoes for my kids. And they wanted the really expensive ones. And they were expensive. And so we compromised to something when I got home. And it's like, wait a minute. I didn't want to spend $100 on shoes, but I spent $75. And this is what I see is maybe happening here. They're floating $3.5 trillion, but they may pare it down. And when it's all said and done, we're like, wait a minute. We've done $1.5 or $2 trillion. And I think that's a strategy.
It wouldn't surprise me that it's a strategy. I've seen numbers as high as $6 billion being floated when it comes to these large bills that the Democrats want to put in place while they still have their tenuous grasp on power. But it's all imaginary anyway, because we can't afford it no matter what.
We can't.
No, we can't. And, you know, when you look at the tax burden that people pay, you know, government can raise money in one of two ways, by taxation or by borrowing. And they're already taxing people quite heavily, and
they want to tax us more,
and they borrow money, a lot of it from the Chinese. A lot of the people that buy treasury debt are the Chinese,
right,
who are our global rivals, and it just is a recipe for disaster. And in your family budget, you don't go out and spend thousands of dollars on credit cards and then borrow money to spend more on credit cards and have all, you know, when you live beyond your means, sooner or later you go bankrupt. And the United States has been living beyond its means for decades now. That's why we have $30 trillion or whatever the number is in national debt. The national debt is higher than the value of the United States economy, and that's a problem. And sooner or later,
big problem,
we will be subject to the laws of economics and human nature in this country. We'll experience a sovereign default, and it will be ugly.
It will be ugly. Okay. So,
you know, after what he just said, maybe it's a good time to remind all who are listening, if you really want to get your head around this, go to the national debt clock. It's real time, and the figures are spinning faster.
You could use it as a fan right now, right?
Right. And so let me get the website. It's, what is it? USdebtClock.org. USdebtClock.org. It'll make your head spin.
And what is so immoral about this, Rick and Steve, is this, that the founding fathers, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to pass on liberty to the next generation. And here we are, our generation, and we want to pass a big fat IOU on to the next generation, and they haven't even had a voice in it, Rick. Not even a voice.
We've already passed a giant debt to future generations, and it's just going to get worse.
Okay, Mitch McConnell says he's going to put a line in the sand here, finally, about not increasing the debt ceiling. What do you think about that?
I think either side is, I think they'll probably cave at some point because it's...
They always do.
A lot of federal government spending right now is on autopilot. And it's not discretionary. It's going to increase every year, no matter what, unless severe changes are made to how our government spends money. And I don't believe there's the political will on either side in Washington to do that right now. So I think the best we can hope for is to prevent a new additional things like this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill.
Well, that needs to be stopped first. But I want to float this idea with you. What about, because baby boomers have had the best of the best. We've had relative peace. We have, you know, so many blessings. What do you think about proposing that everybody on all these entitlements take a 5% cut?
Well, that's a tough one.
Because otherwise, if we have a sovereign default, there's going to be more than a 5% haircut.
This is true. It's like the true minimum wage is zero. I think that's an idea worth exploring. It's kind of a funny thing, though. When I think about all the money I've paid into Social Security over the years, if I had been able to keep that money and invest it, I would be retired right now and I wouldn't be working anymore. So, so the government, you know, I gave that money to the government in accordance with the law, because if I hadn't, I would have been in jail, and I want it back. So they owe me money. I gave the government money to fund my retirement, and I want that money back.
Okay, but what about the next generation?
Well,
and the other question is if you outlive the money you put into Social Security, should you get more?
Well, I don't think that is the case. No, I don't think you should get more than you put in. But there are so many other things that could be cut in this government.
Okay.
That I think that the repaying people that have paid into the system should come first. And there's way lots of places.
So you mean maybe like not paying for all the people that are coming in across the border? Would that be a place to start?
Things like that, yeah.
And maybe not have them come across the border?
Right, right.
And, that might be a thought?
Cut out some of the – there's so much bloat in government. I mean, you and I have talked about Colorado's state government. And you know, we've talked to lawmakers who said there's a lot of fluff in this and there's a lot of waste. Well, there's a lot of fluff and waste throughout the federal government, and that's a great place to start cutting.
Before we start asking for haircuts.
Right.
On...
And why don't we talk about eliminating all these unconstitutional federal agencies?
Well, that's a good start, too.
That would be a great way to save money. The Department of Energy, I don't recall seeing anything about that in the last time I read the Constitution.
How about the Department of Education?
Or the Department of Education.
How about the FTC?
Or the Health and Human Services.
Or FCC.
Or CDC.
Oh. Or, we could go on
or
and on.
ATF or CIA.
Or ABC, EFG.
There's a lot of places. To save money before we start talking about cutting Social Security.
Okay, I think you're convincing me. It is TurnQuest Friday. Rick TurnQuest is in studio. It's always great to have him here. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Doug Chamberlain is our guest on America's Veteran Stories this Sunday at 3 and at 10. And producer Steve, it is a powerful interview. He is a sponsor of the America's Veteran Story Show. He's written this book, Bury Him, a memoir of the Vietnam War. It is riveting. Anyway, we're going to go to break here, and Steve is frantically doing something. I'm not sure what.
I'm sorry. I was getting ready for break and pushed the wrong button. It is an incredible interview because you can hear in his voice the knee-jerk train wreck, I guess is a better way to say it. Marines are fanatical about not leaving anybody behind. And when you get an order to leave somebody behind, again, it's got to be a train wreck in your soul.
So it's a very, very powerful interview. Would highly recommend that you tune in on that. So I was just trying to see how quick on his feet producer Steve was. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Rick TurnQuest.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Just a couple of things. First of all, want to continue to remind you that this governor, Governor Polis, on May 21st of 2021, signed Senate Bill 21-142. It's the health care access in cases of rape or incest, sponsored by Democrat Senators Pedersen and Donovan and Democrat Representatives Carveo and McCluskey. And it says in there, every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. So I think, Rick Turnquist, I think perhaps that when we're having all this forced coercion about masking and vaccines, and again, you want to wear a mask, you want to get a vaccine, free choice, do it. But when we're looking at force and coercion, it looks like it's against the law here in Colorado.
Yes, isn't it funny how they seem to forget that principle when they're talking about using government force to put government values and government health decisions on people. It's just amazing how they just, I don't believe that the left has coherent philosophy. I believe it's, I don't even really call it thought. I would call it more of a chaotic emotion processing. And so they talk about your body, your choice when it comes to things like abortion and these things that you just mentioned. But when it comes to people putting substances in your body without your consent, they don't care. And you know, I want to point out that part of the Elijah McCain tragedy was paramedics injecting a substance into his body, ketamine. And I don't believe that the government or agents of the government should have the power or the ability to inject any substance in anybody's body without their consent.
I agree. I totally agree. And just a quick note regarding they go over to my body, my choice. But a young person actually made this point to me. Since when does a body have two heartbeats? So there's that whole thing that it just doesn't match up. And as you said, it's incoherent. But speaking of incoherent, this first article that Patty has pulled here from The Federalist says Black Lives Matter is threatening an uprising against racist vaccine mandates. And this is by Eddie Scarry. From The Federalist, and he says, it's a rule in the national media that vaccine hesitancy is worthy of shame and scorn right up until it collides with their most precious cause, the Black Lives Matter movement. Hesitant white nurses? Outcast. Hesitant white Facebook moms? Shun. Hesitant white Trump supporters? Guillotine. But there's oddly been no prescription for the Black Lives Matter crew in New York who are accusing the city of racial discrimination by mandating vaccines for public indoor activity. Hank Newsom, he's probably not any relation to Gavin, but anyway, he said the co-founder and chairman of Black Lives Matter Greater New York was quoted Saturday in the New York Times saying that restaurants are using vaccine mandates to enforce their racist beliefs and excluding black patrons. At a protest Monday in front of New York restaurant Carmine's, Shivana Newsom, also a co-founder of the group, said of the vaccine mandates, what is going to stop the Gestapo, I mean the NYPD, I'm not sure I agree on all that, but from rounding up black people, from snatching them off the train, off the bus? She further issued the threat that BLM was putting this city on notice that your mandate will not be another racist social distance practice and that black people are not going to stand by or you will see another uprising. Fascinating.
Isn't it? It just is so satisfying when the left eats its own like that. And it just goes to show that even a broken clock can be right twice a day. And in this case, they're against the mandates, and they should be. And I don't buy into all the racist crap claptrap, but it's clearly out there that a lot of people are opposed to mandates. When the idea of vaccine passports were being floated earlier this year, even leftists were coming out and saying, no, we don't want any vaccine passports. So it's a fringe idea that doesn't belong in American life, and I'm glad that people are standing up against it.
Well, and the other thing about it, Rick, is the data that they use. So first of all, remember, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we wanted to make sure our hospitals weren't overrun. But Patty had found this piece from KDVR. It says 1 in 4 COVID hospitalizations are not due to COVID. And so the numbers aren't right. And I was up at U.S. Constitution Week last week. Love it.
Bet that was fun.
Oh, my gosh, it was a blast. And they awarded Brenda Bach, the coroner from Grand Lake, the American Patriot Award, because she has continued to push to get some of this data correct. And what's interesting is in November of 2020, there were 2 people that died in Grand County. It's such a small county that she could really, because nobody else had died. And it was a murder-suicide. Before they even finished their investigation, the state of Colorado had them noted as COVID deaths. And so she reached out, said, hey, we need to change this. They haven't changed it yet. So she had a conversation with Governor Polis, and apparently he said, well, we're going to check and see what other states are doing. And comes back and says, well, they're doing the same thing, so we're not going to change it. So she said that they actually had, Cheryl Atkinson is on this now. Last Sunday on Full Measure, she had gone out and interviewed Brenda. But the Grand County numbers were inflated 500%. So there was the murder-suicide that's still noted as COVID. There was a heart attack that was noted as COVID. And 2 people that are still alive that were noted as COVID deaths. So how on earth do you use this data to put for these policies? Good for Black Lives Matter on this.
Yeah, I hate to say when I agree with them, but like I said, a broken clock could be right twice a day. And in this case, they're right.
That's for sure. Rick, this always goes so quickly when you're in studio, and I can't wait to get to the piece that you've written, Truth and Reconciliation. But as you know, this show comes to you because I have so many great sponsors. And before we go to break, on the line with me is Hal Van Herkey. He and his wife, Linnea, are entrepreneurs. They own Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It's a great little family-owned business, and their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And Hal Van Herkey, you were on last week, and I heard from a number of listeners. They so appreciated your words of inspiration, really. And I know that you heard from a bunch of people as well.
Yeah, I think we don't have as much time today as last week, but mainly what I was saying is that, those of us that feel like we're conservative, or we're on the right side of the political spectrum, feel like that we've had our voices taken away. They feel like we've been backed into a corner. They're taking away one right after the other, the most recent one being how frustrated people are with mandatory vaccine rollout and the government trying to circumvent the Constitution by using large employers and large corporations to do their dirty work. And really the message was just like, let's not give up. Let's just get fed up and start resisting peacefully and in our own way and just non-complying, refusing to put up with it, and not only draw your line right where it needs to be, but, go ahead and take 2 steps forward, big steps forward, and reclaim, things that you feel like you've lost in terms of either being, through wokeism or cancel culture or anything else. So, yeah, I think that's something that we all need to be doing on a daily basis, is standing up for what we believe in, speaking our minds, letting those people next to us know that we don't always agree with something they say just because it's the appropriate cancel culture position of the moment.
So. Hal, that's so interesting. And I had a friend of mine just recently who she wants more information. She wants more studies before she takes the jab. But yet she sublets a place where she does her business. And the person that she was subletting from said, unless you get the jab, I'm not going to renew your lease. And my friend reached out to me and I said, stay strong on that. I said, she needs you to help pay her rent as well. And so she did stand strong on that. But I was thinking about it. Let's say you take out the word "get the jab." I won't lease to you if you are fill in the words black, gay, any of those kinds of things, and people would be up in arms if that was the case.
Conservative Republican, yeah, it could be anything. But you know, or I won't renew your lease if you drive a Volkswagen. You know, it's just ridiculous. So. You know, some of these things are illegal and specifically spelled out as illegal in the law in terms of discrimination. And some of these just fall into the camp where you would look at somebody like they were nuts if they said they weren't going to renew somebody's business lease because they didn't agree with them on XYZ social issue or something like that. So it's, we just need to start standing up. And, you know, if you look at the statistics, you know, there's just as many of us who are frustrated with this continued encroachment on personal freedom than there are that keep pushing it. And so the problem is we don't speak up. We don't have the mainstream media voices. But frankly, if you look at what we used to call mainstream media, they've lost so much market share that I'm not sure they're even the mainstream anymore. But we just assume that we don't have a voice. You know, we have plenty of conservative voices in the conservative media. We have bloggers online. We have ourselves, the groups we belong to.
And the Kim Munson Show.
Our voice a little bit. Like the Kim Munson Show. Absolutely. You know, and we just need to do more of this, and we need to exercise our voice. So and stop thinking that we're back into a corner and just get a little fed up and a little feisty.
So I really appreciate that. Also, let's talk just a little bit about Castlegate Knife and Tool. And you had been running a knife. You had a knife sharpening event, and I did go out and have one of my knives sharpened. Thank you. But you're running a special right now.
Yeah, our special now between the end of October is aimed specifically at people who use their knives for a living. So if you're a chef or you worked in a butcher shop or you are a tradesperson who uses a knife every day for part of your job, if you bring that knife in to be sharpened anytime now between now and the end of October, we'll give you 20% off your knife sharpening. So just really wanting to, you know, focus on the people who need those knives and use those knives for a living.
Well, and
so
you're
especially looking at chefs and butchers and restaurant owners and things like that. So.
Okay. And your technician that did this for my knife, I mean, I can tell that he is a specialist in this field. And, of course, if you're using your knife for your livelihood, you don't want to trust that to just anybody. And I think sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to get it sharpened because I don't know. So this is a great deal. So, again, how do people make that happen?
So you can either go to our website, castlegate.com, and under sharpening, which is right up one of the first issues options on the navigation bar, castlegate.com/sharpening, or you can go into our store in Sedalia, Colorado, and just walk in and bring your knives in, and we'll hook you up with sharpening. And it usually takes a 2 or 3 day turnaround.
Okay.
To get those back to you.
Okay. Well, Hal Van Herke, I so appreciate you. Our sponsors of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories, greatly appreciated. And again, that's castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And we will be right back with Rick Turnquist.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Rick Turnquist is in studio. It is a Turnquist Friday, and he's come all the way from Oklahoma to be here. It's great to have you here.
That's right. Having a fun weekend here in my native state and heading back tomorrow.
How is Oklahoma?
I like Oklahoma. It's different. It's very red, very Republican, and even the earth is red. And when I was doing some research recently, I saw that every single county in Oklahoma voted for President Donald Trump. So it's I feel like I'm at home there when I think about the political world. The daily newspaper there does have a little bit of a left-leaning slant, but that's to be expected from the media. But our governor in Oklahoma is a true conservative. He also is a Native American.
And, what's his name?
His name is Kevin Stitt.
Okay.
And it's interesting to me that here in Colorado, several of your progressive lefties ran these bills over recent years to make it so that high schools couldn't have Native American mascots
right.
and images and names and stuff. But in Oklahoma, I find it very interesting that the culture is such that the Native American heritage of that land is very much embraced and is very much a part of life in Oklahoma. And people have, you know, people that are members of various tribes have license plates that say, you know, member of whatever tribe.
Uh-huh.
And the state flag has an Indian symbol on it, a Native American symbol on it. So I find that more refreshing than this divisiveness that comes out of the left here in uh-huh. Colorado. And I find that there it's, you know, it's embracing the Native American culture and a lot of Oklahoma is tribal lands. So it's very interesting to me.
Rick, I have loved this state, Colorado. I've been here for a long time. But I have to tell you, I feel kind of this oppressive air here. And whenever I drive across the border to another state, or like if I'm going to Wyoming, it's like I hit that border, it's like I feel freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel this oppression here in Colorado. And a lot of our friends, you, have left. However, at this particular point in time, I feel compelled to stay here and fight. There's all kinds of reasons that people leave. That's good. But right now, I feel that for our state and for our country, and with this voice that we have here, that I need to stay and fight because Colorado is the petri dish. They try it here and then they export it. And one of those things, you'd written a very excellent op-ed, was this LEAP, which is, Patty put this here so that I get the actual title actually correct here. The Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program is Prop 119. We are a hard no on this. Reason being, puts in place, this is a government that is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. We the people. And this puts this, it takes this out of an elected position, and it creates an unelected authority board of 9 members chosen by this governor. They choose their replacements. They have full taxing power. They choose all the vendors. And it's, quote unquote, a new marijuana tax, a state marijuana tax for the children. It makes me mad when they take kids and they are pushing forward this thing.
Oh, it's a terrible idea, and I'm very disappointed in people that are Republicans who have signed on to this thing, because it's really not a legitimate function of government to punish one group of people for using a product that's legal in this state by taxing them more to fund this program, which, as you say, will be governed by a unaccountable board that's a bunch of political cronies that are being appointed by the governor, and they'll have all this power
and
tax money to play with. And it's just unconscionable that this is even a concept and even on the ballot. And I hope people realize, take it for what it is. And even if they see a Republican that has signed on to it, to think, is this really the proper function of government? Is this really something that we should be doing? And vote no when it comes time to do that.
Well, and I think it was sold to many of these Republicans. And Steve, I know, is going to jump in here in just a minute. But I think it was sold to a number of these. And there's some really people I really like and respect who have their names on there. And I'd really encourage them to get their names off of there. But note to all of us, I don't think that they read it. I don't think people realize that sometimes it's not just that ballot question. This is a 14 pages that really explains what it's going to do. And if you read that, it's like, wait a minute.
Well, we all want better outcomes for kids. And I think that's where they're coming from, is that it was sold to them as a better outcome
right.
for children. And I know a lot of us care about, you know, school boards and education and all mm-hmm. that. And I think that's where they're coming from. But it's really – not. I think it's a wolf in sheep's clothing type thing, and I think if they dug in and read more closely what it's about and what it will do, that they might want to check their premises, as Francisco would say.
There you go. And Steve, when we were doing our pre-call, I mean, you called it. The other side has $1.3 million, and they spent $950,000. It's actually a Republican operative that's running the whole campaign. And his firm that does petition gatherings already been paid $950,000. And so it's a little bit of the follow the money. But, Steve, you called it, and we have zero. Let me just put it that way. I mean, you talk about a David and Goliath thing, but you mentioned that you can see the ads coming, Steve.
Yeah. And I know my blood pressure is going to rise every time I see one, so another reason to stay away from broadcast media. But can you just envision what the commercials are going
to look
like? The
happy child running to the after-school program that's paid for by this marijuana tax.
Do it for the children, right. And yada, yada, yada. And I'm just, wait a minute, there's more to it than that.
For sure. And I want to get to Rick's piece, but Rick, I want you to comment on this. And that is, you kind of alluded to this, the tax on marijuana, they're quoted as like sin taxes, something that the other people may not approve of. It's a sin tax. And so I don't, you know, somebody would say, I don't smoke marijuana, I don't use marijuana, not a problem. But you have to be careful on these kinds of things, because what if you have people in power that think it's a sin? Well, alcohol, tobacco, those are a couple. But what about, I was with the Women of Weld last night, and I said, what about ammo? Or what about, somebody said, what about gas? And you start to go down a very dangerous road when you start to do this kind of policy.
Well, they already add excise taxes to gasoline, and they add
fees. There's new fees coming.
Fees, yep, coming along down the pike. And the truth is, there's a lot of money in the state government budget. I took a deep dive into that a couple of years ago. There's a lot of money there that could be spent on transportation, and it's the people in charge, Republican and Democrat, have put it elsewhere. So every time we complain about roads and bridges, it's just a silly thing to talk about, because the money's there, and it's all a matter of how it's being spent by the people in charge, and they don't, for all their lip service to transportation, they just don't want to allocate the money to it.
And your connection on that was the fees on gas and all that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's jump over here to this important piece that you have done, Truth and Reconciliation. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think that the backdrop is that after the election, when the Democrats, it was like my worst nightmare, Joe Biden being elected president, and then the Democrats taking full control of the United States Congress. And they do have full control, but it's not a mandate type full control. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have an overwhelming majority like the Republicans do in my new state of Oklahoma. So they have a very tenuous grip on power, and they know when you hear that crowds in stadiums are chanting a pejorative expression against the president, and these are mostly young people, you know, there's a groundswell of unrest in the nation over the incompetence and bungling of this administration. So I think the Democrats are fully aware that they will most likely lose control of the national government in the next election.
Unless they can cheat.
Yeah,
enough.
Well, there's always that. And, mm-hmm. and that's why I put in this piece that election integrity is so important. And we can read the piece and see all this progressive boondoggle, you know, universal pre-K, government-funded child care, establishing minimum wages of $15 per hour per child care workers. They're also, I saw in researching this, people are talking about raising the minimum wage to $24 an hour, free community college, increasing Pell Grants, making permanent the child tax credit that's out there, expanding Obamacare subsidies, investing in, I love the way they always use the word investing.
Right.
It's not investing, it's spending. Investing is when you put money into a savings vehicle or buy a part of a company through a purchase of stock. That's investing.
Yeah.
All government does is spend.
Yeah. On that note, when I was on city council, it cracked me up. It didn't crack me up. It really concerned me when you have PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties talk about ROI on the money that they're spending of other people's money.
Which
is return on investment.
It actually is comical.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just they're using a concept that doesn't apply
right.
in that instance. Yeah. And of course they want to combat climate change by making investments, air quotes, to reduce carbon emissions and for the power grid to get 80% of its power from emissions free. And I'll tell you, all energy sources have some environmental costs.
They do.
Solar has environmental costs. Wind has environmental costs.
And they're not as reliable.
Oh, and they're not as reliable as we saw last February.
And they're not
Texas
as efficient.
And Kansas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So it's a fantasy. It's a child's fantasy to think that they can get all that 80% of our power from so-called emissions-free, which is a lie, sources. And it's right now it's about 11% currently. If you go to EIA.gov, you can see that right now our sources and uses, renewable energy provides about 11% of our power.
I'd like John Kerry to actually fly those jets around that he's flying around all the time via either a solar power or wind.
Right.
How about you first?
Well, they think that, you know, electricity just comes out of the wall by magic. I mean, they don't understand what it takes to provide it. And I think the most disturbing thing is they want to create a civilian climate corporation to employ young people to work conserving public lands, bolstering community resilience, and advancing environmental justice. And
I thought they didn't like corporations.
Well, they like corporations.
Like big corporations.
So I encourage your readers to Google the word Komsomol, spelled K-O-M-S-O-M-O-L, to see what this. When I read about that, that's what it reminded me of was the Komsomol.
And I don't know what that is.
It was a youth organization in the Soviet Union that was bringing young people up to be good Soviet citizens and doing public works projects and all kinds of stuff. You can Google it and read about it. And it actually, you know, I hate to even mention this, but it actually reminds me of the Hitler Youth in a way, because it's just indoctrination of young people and just imagine these young people knocking on your door. What are you doing to save the climate today? I mean, it's just insane, these things that they're thinking about.
I want to mention one other thing on this, though. When you create something like this with youth and they're out having to do this, they are not working and starting to create wealth for themselves.
That's exactly right. They're not attending college. They're not getting that first job, probably because the minimum wage is too high and they can't get hired.
Mm-hmm.
And that fosters a belief in a dependency on government. Mm-hmm. That's what's so pernicious about all this. And it's about, I went to a restaurant the other night and there was one person working the front stand, where they greet you and take you to be seated. Normally, pre-COVID, there'd be two or three people there doing that work. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'll bet you this is because they're having trouble finding staff.
Mm-hmm.
And because the government is paying people to stay home. And that's not a proper function of government. Mm-hmm. And it's bad for the person. I'd much rather be out working and earning my keep than sitting home relying on a government handout to pay my bills.
There's dignity in work.
Exactly. And there's pride in work.
There is. We're going to go to break. In studio with me is Rick Turnquist. It's a Turnquist Friday. Before we do that, I have these great sponsors I get to work with, and another one of them is Hooters Restaurants. And they have five locations, and that is Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And they have all kinds of specials. They actually have some great lunch specials, and Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 p.m., dine-in or to-go. They have $8 items, which is Baja fish tacos, lunch burgers, or smoked wings. $9 items, shrimp tacos, chicken tenders, chicken garden salad, or buffalo chicken garden salad, Philly cheesesteak. And the $10 items are the lunch fish and chips, buffalo chicken sandwich, Western burger with curly fries, and kids eat free on Saturdays with the purchase of an adult entree. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. 888-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you for all your support. Charlie's done a great job on that bumper music.
Yeah. Yeah, Pink Floyd, one of my favorite bands. So that's awesome.
Okay, our last segment here, Rick. What do we need to talk about?
Let's talk about taxes.
Okay.
So in order to fund this $3.5 trillion bill, and let's just see here, 3.69. So 3.5 is 3.5 and then 11 zeros after it. It's just it's an amount of money that's not even really imaginable. But think about if you're one of the 144 million roughly taxpayers in America, that's about 25 grand out of your pocket to pay for this $3.5 trillion package. And that's on top of everything else you pay in taxes.
Right.
That's just for this. And as I researched this, I realized that the government actually spends about $6.5 trillion a year, which is about $45,000 per taxpayer. It's $17 billion a day. If you took Jeff Bezos, if you expropriated illegally and immorally Jeff Bezos' entire fortune, it would fund the federal government for about 11 days. So taking money from people that have earned it is not the way to fund these things, to fund the government. And I actually did a little bit of research. I listened to a podcast by Ben Shapiro, and he talked about this a little bit, and it got me curious to look at it. Taxation in America again. And under current tax law, a single individual earns more than $523,601 is taxed at 37%. If they live in the high tax state like California, which has a top marginal tax rate of 13%, they're paying a little bit over 50% of their income, of money that they earn through their productive labor. Or if they
is that just on income taxes? I mean, what about all the other taxes and fees?
Oh, yeah, that's just income. That's just income. They're paying over 50%. So at what point do you become a slave? When you pay 50%, 75% of what you earn to the government? When do you become a slave of that government?
Okay, and let's talk about that term slave, because that we hear this all the time with all the things going on. And what that means is that you don't get to keep the fruits of your labor.
That's right.
Somebody else benefits from the fruits of your labor, right?
You may theoretically be a free person, but if you can be put in jail for not giving the government X percentage of your income.
And if it gets close to all of it, that's very close to slavery.
it's immoral. And corporations used to be taxed at 35% prior to the 2017 tax cut bill, which was the crowning achievement of the Trump administration.
And the economy was humming.
Oh, it was humming. It's so funny to me now. People are looking back to the good old days when Trump was president, gas prices were much lower and inflation was lower and the world respected us, because they knew that we meant what we said. And now, like I said, there's a deep groundswell in America of unhappiness with this current administration. The media won't report on it, and they just continue to gloss over and pump up the Biden administration. But there's going to be a reckoning in next year.
People are paying attention.
And then in 3 years when the next presidential election happens, I believe there's going to be a serious change coming. So getting back to taxation, Democrats want to raise taxes on people who are successful. And I'm just going to read this verbatim. The fact of the matter is the rich already pay 40% of all income taxes in the United States as of 2018. The top 25 and higher in terms of income pay 87% of all income taxes. The bottom 50% pay only 3% of all income taxes paid, Kim. In fact, according to the Heritage Foundation, over over time, high-income Americans have shouldered a larger and larger share of the cost of government. Even the 2017 tax cuts reduced tax bills for the lowest-income Americans by 10%, while only cutting taxes for the top 1% by 0.04%. Even after the tax cuts, the rich pay a larger, not smaller, share of income taxes. So,
Is that fair?
A fair tax. And this is Arthur Laffer in his excellent book, The Wealth of States, talks about this. A fair tax is a broad-based tax levied on everybody that's at a low percentage, like Colorado's flat income tax. Mm-hmm. Everybody pays 4.63 or 4.5, whatever it is now, of their income in taxes. So a rich person that earns $1 million a year is going to pay 4.5%. A poorer person, or less well economically off person, that earns $50,000 a year will pay 4.5%. That's a fair tax, is a flat tax.
And the point to remember, because the left always says, well, from a percentage standpoint, the person with $1 million is paying, how did they say that, is paying less?
Well, they think that people that earn more money should pay more because they earn more money.
Okay, but they are paying more because they're paying 4.whatever% on $1 million.
Right.
So they are paying more.
They are paying more. And in fact, the taxes that hurt lower income people the most are sales taxes, sin taxes, because a lot of people that don't make a lot of money are the ones who smoke and pay the tobacco taxes or the vaping products taxes. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who, might be likely to pay the marijuana taxes and have that increased on them. They bear the cost of higher government fees and premiums. So,
like at the gas pump,
right? All this government takings hurt lower income people more than it hurts people that make more money, and that's just a fact of life. So, there's really not much more. And people that have wealth. And I'm not in the top 1%, and I'm certainly not. But people who have wealth have ways of avoiding taxes legally. And in fact, people like Joe Biden, who apparently owes $500,000 in back taxes, found ways to avoid taxes. Mm-hmm. So people will recognize that they're not going to pay over a certain percentage of their income, whatever that percentage might be, and they'll move or they'll restructure their earnings or they'll do other things to avoid
from both sides
taxes.
Of the aisle.
And it's people all across the spectrum. A lot of wealthy people are leftists who want higher taxes on everybody, including themselves. I think Warren Buffett says, "Oh, tax me." Well, that's his choice.
Just send your
and
check
you
in.
You know what? You can always write a check to the government for more money. They'll never send it back. If you want to pay more to the government, then by all means do so. And I've had this argument with leftists, and I always say, "What percentage of your income, as a percent, are you willing to pay in taxes to fund the government programs that you want?" And I never get a serious, honest answer. And one time I did nail a guy down, and he said 21% or something like that. Well, they want to tax higher income people at 50, 60, 70, 80% because that's their fair share.
But the economic rule is if you want less of something, you tax it. So if you want less successful people, you tax them. And that is the politics of envy. Whereas on the other side, if you look at somebody that is successful, you say, oh my gosh, this is America. If they did it, I can do it.
That's right. And people can experience success in many different ways. You can be a successful writer. You can be a successful rock star. You can start a company and build it up and sell it to a larger company and walk away with a big paycheck. You build a company like Amazon and fill a niche that people want, or Apple, which provides a product, which provides products that people all over the world want. And you can become fabulously wealthy.
Which is great.
And it's awesome. Yeah.
And the thing about it, so you have a product, and if people perceive that it makes their life better or something that they want, and if a lot of people think that, then that's a way to get wealthy. And begrudge it? No. Celebrate it.
Yeah, it's much, much better to celebrate wealth than to celebrate government spending and government dependency, because that's just not dignified. It's
oppressive.
It is, and you become... And they foster this dependency in the schools and through these programs and these minimum wage things. And it's just, it's, we need to have a complete reset in our thinking about our relationship with government in this country and recognize that government exists to protect life, liberty, and property. And if it's doing anything other than that, it probably shouldn't be. Now, infrastructure, we can make the argument that that's a problem. Sure. You know, you can also make a private market argument for infrastructure. Mm-hmm. National defense, that's a legitimate function of government. Mm-hmm.
Look at the southern border.
Yeah.
And they're not doing their job.
They're certainly not doing their job.
Rick Turnquist, we only have a minute left. How do you want to button this baby up here?
Well, I would encourage everybody to read my piece, learn more about the reconciliation bill, and as I've done, contact your state representative and the two United States senators, Hickenlooper and what's his name?
Bennett.
Do Nothing Bennett. And encourage them to vote no on this horrible, horrible bill.
That's your marching orders on what to do. Rick Turnquist, I always love Turnquist Fridays.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's great to be here.
Great to have you in studio. Our quote for today, and you're going to like this also, is from Thomas Jefferson. He says, "To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us up with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want